noble one, a good one, and one that I have known the words of for a long time, and yet had no idea for a long time what the man who wrote the song was really saying, what he preached, old Augustus Toplady, preacher of God's free and sovereign grace. We're thankful to be in this place tonight and to have this privilege amidst all the cares of your life and amidst all the goings on in the country and amidst all the cares in this world and the problems and the fire and the smoke and the hurricanes and all these things. The Lord has given us a little oasis where we might hear His word and be united with those of like precious faith and have fellowship in the gospel. That's what fellowship really is. It's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in that one who is God's fellow. We pray for Olivia as she continues to recover, has some pain as you would expect, but hopefully that will be subsiding with the time as the healing goes on. We pray for Tamara that she might be also recovering from the surgery she had. And we pray for the young man, I believe his nickname is Trey. I'm not sure exactly, but it's Charles Pierce, if I'm not badly mistaken. His father was killed suddenly this past week. And so we pray for them and for that family and ask the Lord's mercies to be upon them. There are others that are sick and have problems and pains, and there are things that are common to us all. We ask the Lord's help for them all. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we come into this place tonight and we are glad for it. We are thankful that you have given us a place and a time and most especially a reason to gather around to proclaim your name and to worship you according to your truth, to lift up our voices in songs of thanksgiving, to unite our hearts in prayer for these that are sick and all of our trials and troubles of life. We thank you that you, by your grace and by your mercy to us, have revealed yourself to us in that grace and mercy that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are poor to think upon Him and to realize all that you've given us in Christ. You've given us all spiritual blessings, all eternal blessings, all the promises that you make to be yes and amen in Him. You've given us, and we are so unworthy of the least of them, but we thank you. And we lift up your name tonight as the one who is above every name and the one to whom every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are the Lord of glory, to the glory of God the Father. We pray tonight for Olivia that you might continue your hand of healing upon her, strengthen her and comfort her and cause her pain, Lord, we pray, to ease if it pleases thee, and all these things restore her back to health. And Tamara also, as she's healing from surgery, and all these various ones who have lost loved ones, we pray for that family in Alabama. We know that, Lord, only you can fill that void. We know something about the sorrows of losing loved ones, and We bow and we rest in your wisdom and your purpose that you purposed and ordained for everyone. We know that you have appointed the hour and the means of the death of every man and woman on this earth. And you've done it in wisdom. You've done it in grace. You've done it in power. You've done it in justice. We pray that we might acknowledge these things and find, Lord, a solace and a comfort in them. We pray that you would take all the affairs of this life as you already have, and remind us that everything is in your hand, that you work according to the counsel of your own will all these things. And they shall work out just as you have ordered and ordained. And in the end, there will be your people saved eternally by your great grace in Christ. And there will be all glory and praise given to your name by every creature, Lord, whether they be in heaven praising you for your grace, or whether they be in hell forced to praise you and acknowledge your right and reign and justice in all things. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you for the food that we will partake of in a short while, and for this time that you've given us together. We lift up our voices and we acknowledge ourselves for what we are, as nothing but sinners. And we pray, sinners saved by your grace. We pray that you'd help us tonight as we say a few words from your word before we gather together for a time of fellowship. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
We'll look at a fairly new hymn tonight, hymn number 151. I'm going to get Janice to play through it for us one time, and then we'll try singing it. It's called Crucified. Thank you.
give us on that, Brother Richard? Maybe a B? I think maybe a B. We've had a few C's and D's on new songs, but maybe we can get a B on that. For just a few minutes tonight, I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I just want to look at one verse, because it is a constant statement throughout the scriptures. And that verse is verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The scriptures. Well, if we know anything about the scriptures, we know that faith is the gift of God. That's what the scripture says. It is the gift of God. But as often the case, those who have it are found wondering if they have it. Wondering. They're like the man that we read about in this New Testament, that Christ said all things were possible to those that believe. And he had to say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Faith and unbelief dwelling in the same man. But those who have faith, they have it because they are born of God's Spirit. There is an evidence for the new birth. And it's not what most people say. But the evidence of the new birth is simply this: those born of God believe. They are given spiritual life, which is manifested and displayed by believing. And having faith, they recognize something that they never recognized before. They recognize to a degree unbelief. They didn't know that they had unbelief or that they were unbelievers until they had faith. And they know that Christ said of some that were nearest to him, he said, O ye of little faith. And then he tells some who would seemingly be unlikely to have faith, he says to them that great is your faith. So we know that there is little faith spoken of and great faith spoken of and everything in between. But faith is not measured by quantity. True faith is measured by its object. We have faith if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because the object of God-given faith is Christ. And assurance is never gained by looking to or measuring our faith. But assurance is always gained by looking to Christ. We might ask ourselves this. We might ask ourselves, as Christ did on one occasion when he said, "Shall I find faith on the earth when I come again?" We might ask ourselves, shall we be believing when the Lord comes? Will we be people of faith throughout all that happens to us? But faith is like persons who are going on a journey. And they go out to the airport and they board a plane and they proceed, they launch on this journey, and the question simply is, will they make it? Will they make it to that final destination? Well, the truth of the matter is, they'll make it there if the airplane makes it there. They're in the airplane, and if the airplane makes it safely and lands at that destination, they'll surely be in it. And that's the way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ, because faith is a looking to Jesus. It is a looking to him as the author and the finisher of our faith. We believe on him, and believing what the scripture says about him, believing what it says about who he is in this glorious person, and believing what God has made him to us, and believing what the scriptures say that he's done for us. So we come to this point and confidence and assurance in this verse. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Those who believe on him, and that is all of God's people whom he has loved and chose and given to Christ, all of them for whom Christ has then in turn come and died for, all of them who the Spirit of God therefore has given faith and life, they'll never be ashamed. They'll never be ashamed. Believing with faith, whether it be great or whether it be small or everywhere in between, because the object of faith is Christ, they will never be ashamed. Psalm 25 and verse 3 says this, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. That's the will of God. That's the purpose of God. That's the promise of God. That's the decree of God. Let none of them that wait on thee, that trust in thee, be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Now this is so important that the scriptures, that is the word of God, the Bible as we call it, the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, say this very thing and emphasize it. They'll never be disappointed. They'll never be brought to shame. As the word has a meaning to it, as this seems to be represented, they'll never have to blush. They'll never be condemned. Those that believe on Him, they'll never be disappointed of their hope, nor they'll never be ashamed of their confidence. That must be an awful thing. We experience that on a very small level almost every day. We're disappointed in something we believe was true, in someone that we hope were true. All these things are disappointments to us. They show our confidence was in vain. But this is what we need to be reminded of. That because of who God is, because of what Christ has done, because of the love of God, because of the unchangeableness of God, because of promise of God, the faithfulness of God, everything about God Himself, and especially God as He is in Christ, is such that there is no possibility, there is no reason to fear that we should ever be ashamed. Look over in Isaiah chapter 28. God looks at man and He says to man in general that He has made, He thinks, a covenant with death and hell. But it's not going to stand. That's what men determine. That's what they pledge. But look what it says in verse 16. It says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God." This is what He says. "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone." Whether you view Zion as a building or you view it as a city. City that hath foundations. Every city that's ever been on this earth to this point has been found in ruins or will be. The foundations have given away or they will give way. But He says, "I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone," that rock of ages that we sang about, "a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." You ain't got to worry about this foundation. It'll not sink, it'll not crumble, it'll not give way, no matter what the storm, no matter what the wind, because it is the rock Himself, Christ Jesus. "And he that believeth shall not make haste." The margin in my Bible says, "be forced to flee." We've seen all kinds of these hurricane-safe houses built here near the coast. But there can be a foundation, there can be a house built, a fortress built, and yet the storm be against it so bad that those who had that confidence that they're safe, they'd be forced to flee it. Not this foundation. He's so much the stone. He's so much the tried and proven and tested stone. He's so much the precious cornerstone of all God's purpose of grace. He's a sure foundation. And he that believeth will never be forced to flee. Look over in Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 23. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers, and they shall bow down to thee. This is the people of God. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. God's going to do everything amongst the people of the Jews and Gentiles, amongst the people of the world. He's going to send them scattering one way and the other way, just like he has over all the course of history. But not these people. Thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Turn over to the New Testament. In Romans 9 and chapter and verse 33. Now he's quoting here, especially that verse in Isaiah 28, Paul is. And he says in verse 33, as it is written, where? In the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block. Oh, it's a sure foundation to God's people, but to unbelievers, to the non-elect, to those yet dead in trespasses and sin. He's a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. That's what he was to most of the Jews. But look at that last phrase. And whosoever believeth on him. It's getting really down to seeing what the stone really is here. On him. Our faith is in him. Who he is and what he's done. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Look with me over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I've got to read a little bit more of this. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. To whom coming? And this is, of course, coming to that one who is the Word, the incarnate Word, who is the Lamb that was spoken of, the Christ, all that he's called in these previous verses, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. I saw a picture today. Somebody was holding up a sign. Somebody in California and saying, keep God out of California. Mm-hmm. You see, you can't keep God out of California because California is in God like everything else. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This building here is not the building he's talking about. We know from storms how you can lose a roof or lose this part or that part. But he's talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about these people that believe. Build up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You'll never be disappointed. He may have pains. He may have sickness. He may die from sickness. He may have trouble in family. He may have problems of life, just like we all do. Trials, tribulations, and he may have failures. He may have fits of unbelief. But he'll never be ashamed. Because if God has given an individual faith, he'll never take it back. And that individual believing will never be ashamed or disappointed. You say, well, preacher, you ought not to. Sounds like you're almost encouraging unbelief. No, I'm not encouraging any misconduct in any believer. I'm just acknowledging the reality. And I'm just believing what the Scripture says. I see it in myself. But be as I am doesn't change Christ for who he is. And it doesn't change what he has accomplished for his people. That's signed and sealed and delivered to the Father. Therefore, those who are believing, if they ever believe once, if you ever gave them faith, they're still believing. And they're believing on him. And they'll never be ashamed. God is often reassuring us in the light of our often unbelief and unfaithfulness and fears and failures that Christ is the solid rock, and though we may tremble on the rock of our salvation is sure. God has ordained and he has promised that we'll never be disappointed, ashamed, confounded, believing on him. This is the confidence of we who believe. Paul writes in Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 17, he says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he's saying, I'm praying this for you, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. To usward who do great things? No. To usward that believe, according to the working of his mighty power. If we believe, if we're found among those that are trusting Christ alone and have hope in Christ alone, salvation in Christ alone, righteousness in Christ alone, it's because of the working of his mighty power.
Amen.
Whosoever believeth in him shall never be ashamed. Why do we know that? Because that's what the scriptures say. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your word that never glorifies unbelief, but always points us to and encourages us in and assures us in believing on Christ and that work that he's done on our behalf. He is the Savior, and his work is salvation. And we people are called by your name. We chosen and given in him and to him. We believe. And we know we'll never be disappointed, never be ashamed, never be even derided by men for having faith in you. Never disappointed. Never, ever. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.